Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. The Bible doesn't condemn gays. Now, a lot of you people that think gay is sin, do you know that you don't bother to ask them anything about their walk in Jesus Christ? There's a lot of gay Christians out there. How often do you go to church? And during share time, you know, when people stand up, give a little testimony what God's doing in their life, how many times do you let gay people stand up and give a testimony about their life and their walk in Christ? Now, I know some of you had brochures passed around of supposed ex-gay testimony saying how God delivered him, and you get and you read this testimony, so you say, well, you gotta gay testimony, some gay person got delivered. You never follow up on these brochures. Some brochures are still floating around from decades ago and years ago. And that person is far from ex-gay. But it's still nice to listen, read his testimony in the little flyer that maybe your church has, even though that person is well back into the gay community, realizing that God did not ask him to change to be straight. But, you know, hey, you got it on paper. What else do you need? You don't care about reality. You people that believe gay is sin, you don't care at all about reality. Had you cared for reality and had you the love that you say you have, then why don't you do some personal stuff? Churches, if pastors are listening to me, I know you're out there, and I know that some of you out there that are listening to me have some influence in their church, or could get influence and make suggestions. I'm happy to go to your church and talk, you know, and give my testimony. I've been a Christian for 32 years. Lots of things have happened in my life concerning my walk with Jesus Christ. I love Jesus very much. I have a testimony in Jesus Christ. And so do lots and lots and lots and lots of gay Christians. You're all so busy trying to find a verse that condemns gays. Well, there isn't any verse that condemns gays. The verses you use are condemning male temple prostitutes, gang rapists, orgies to other gods, and so forth and so on. They are not talking about gays. You can't find a verse that talks about gays. The only thing that you can find is descriptions of acts that are not gay acts. The only reason you think they're gay acts is because, perhaps, there's two males involved. In heterosexuality, you've got a male and a female involved in prostitution, and there's all kinds of rape and all that kind of stuff. You never even give a notion to the fact that all heterosexuality is sin for the sake of the act of prostitution. You say prostitution is prostitution on its own accord. Okay, sir. Likewise, if gay people are just like straight people, they date, they fall in love, they get married. Maybe you don't want to call it married. Who cares what you want to say about what you want to call marriage? Marriage evolves, even in the Bible. Marriage is something that evolves with the times. Today's style of marriage is pagan, even though we have Christian names for it. We go back in history and find out how our style of marriage and how we meet people and date people and so forth goes back to about the 12th century. You know, generally, marriage is a business deal between two families, and even today, this still goes on. So we're living in a different kind of evolved marriage status. Now, for the sake of the country, and for some time, we have to pay taxes and fees to get married. So it's not free. We've got to pay the government something so we can get a license to get married. And so forth and so on. Marriage evolves. And nothing's wrong with that. You don't find God condemning any kind of evolved marital state. What is condemned is rape, orgies, prostitution, and adultery, and stuff like that. This is what's condemned. So if you want to talk about these kind of acts, you don't have to put an orientation in it, because all orientations do these things. And so it's a class on its own. It is a sexual immorality class. But like heterosexuality, when boy meets girl and dates, falls in love, and gets married, we don't put that into a sin class. We call that heterosexuality. Normal, everyday, you know, proper heterosexuality. Well, gays are this way too. Boy meets boy or girl meets girls. They date, they fall in love, and they get married. Many accept Jesus Christ, and even at a very young age, just like heterosexuals. They go to church. When you're at church and look around your congregation that you see out there, all those people, you know, look out there in front and back, you know, and look at the choir up there. There's going to be gay people there. And you have no clue they're gay, because they're not going to tell you, because you hate them. You'll right away condemn them. They'll become to feel very uncomfortable sitting next to you, because your hate would ooze out of you. You'd just be bubbling up inside. You got to tell them they're going to hell. You got to start telling the verses and everything. You forgot. Look how wonderful they sing up there in the choir. Look, they're there. They're praying and they're worshiping God and going up to the altar. They otherwise seem to be like all these other nice, fine Christian folk sitting around you. And maybe you've seen them for years. What changed when you found out they were gay? You know, gays have testimonies. Like I said, I've been saved 32 and a half years. And I've gone to Assembly of God for 15 of those years, almost nonstop, every service they ever had. And after that, I came on television. Everybody knows that I'm gay. I get the evil eye when I go there. One pastor slipped me a note, about a 3-page typed letter, but he didn't bother to sign, didn't bother to do anything else, just simple as done on a typewriter even. And it just does, if I so much as even blink, he'll call the police. Isn't that interesting? So nice of that pastor. Instead of, you know, all the years I've been going to church, you know, pastor after pastor, hundreds of pastors. I've been around the block, you know, in my travels and in the various places I lived, you know. I've been spending quality time with lots of Assembly of God churches. And I had jobs for several years where my job was to drive a truckload or car, busload of people, 15, 20 people, to some church, Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Nazarene, Lutheran, just covers pretty much the denominations. You know, I spent quality time because, you know, week after week for several years. So I get to see all these different people and the pastors and the other congregation. They come up to me, even though I'm just a, sort of like an employee. I happen to be a Christian too. And so when I sit in the service, I, you know, do worship God, sing praises, and act accordingly to the church it is. If I'm in Pentecostal, I could be myself, you know, Pentecostal. Praying tongues and singing tongues and, you know, watch the action of the Holy Spirit through Pentecostal operations. In the other churches, you don't get this kind of stuff, but you can pray, and you can still worship, and you can learn, because, you know, I don't know if you're just a Pentecostal and have this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or since you're just a Christian and you love Jesus, it doesn't matter what kind of church you go to. When you hear the Word of God preached, you feel the presence of the Lord. I've been in churches that seem so outright dead, and the pastor up there just droning on, but he was preaching the Word, and boy, it was just like camp meeting for me. So I was like, how come all these other people are so dead looking? I'm having camp meeting almost over here, because it's just so wonderful hearing the Word of God preach. And what do the pastors do? After a while, they know me. They see me. All the time, you know, how you doing, John? You know? It's always nice to have you here. I see God in you all the time. In Pentecostal churches, you know, I've been called up so many times that I stopped counting at around 200. God has a word for you, John. Come up here. That guy in that flannel shirt there, God is telling me to say a word over you. Come up here. And then they reach out and they start speaking in tongues or whatever. Then they come over the interpretations, or they give the word of knowledge and prophecy and all that. Now come. You know, in Pentecostal world, this is God speaking, not the pastor, because he speaks out. It is the operation of the Holy Spirit. It is that pastor or anybody really who has this gift operating in it, so that when English comes out, it's going to be a prophecy for that person, a word of knowledge, and so forth. And so, in the Pentecostal world, they are saying, God is talking to you, not the pastor. Now, in other denominations, they might call it Satan, they might do all whatever, they don't believe in that kind of stuff, and everything. It doesn't matter. What matters is that in front of thousands of people, here is God speaking through the pastor in the Pentecostal way and saying very good things about me, telling the people how much I love him and telling the people how much he loves me, and then going into detail about my calling and my ministry and the things that are going to happen and so forth and so on. And some of it's pretty detailed. And it's come to pass. And so here all these people are, seeing me all these years, in the various places, and I'm at work and everything, and I used to always have a jacket on that had Jesus patches all over it, all kinds of stuff and everything. Kind of can't do that as much these days. I'm a better half, you know. Don't want to ruin the nice jackets, but, you know, in my day, I just sewed those things on everywhere I could. I had a motorcycle, I had stickers all over that. My car, I had stickers all over that, so everybody knew that's Christian coming up a mile away. And even if I don't have anything, just plain Jane, you know, just nothing, people come up to me, and they begin to want to talk about God. It doesn't take them too long. They just feel drawn to me to talk about God. They say, I see God in you. Can you give me some advice on this issue and that issue and the other issue? On and on and on. People come to me. And if I'm in church, they see God in me. They see the presence of the Lord. I go out in the community and people are saying the same thing. Why? If I'm not a Christian, like you say. Why? Unless God is really doing these things. Online, I got a name called Gaze for Jesus. That's the name of this program, you know, Gaze for Jesus. Isn't that kind of interesting? That name alone has drawn hundreds of thousands of people to me. Generally, one-on-one. I'm in Christian chat rooms. So when I'm in Christian chat room, I'm swamped. Why? Because of my name, Gaze for Jesus. And they come to me. And they begin pouring out to me. The homophobes want to condemn me like crazy. Don't even care about it. If they didn't see that name, they would right away be all this kind of seeing God in me and all that. But see, as soon as they see the name gay, suddenly blinders come up. You don't look at anything else. You don't look at the behavior. You don't operate in your Christianity to feel the presence of the Lord in me, because you block it out. And it takes a time before that you can see this, because you're so blinded. Gays have testimonies. Why are you afraid to hear them? I'd like to make a challenge to you. I've been coming on here for 20 years. You know, I'd like to make a challenge to you. You people, if I just feel like you gotta say gay is sin and you just absolutely believe it in all your, you know, I cannot get through to you. I cannot get you to explain how you get Bible words to mean gay. Because they mean rape. They mean adultery. They mean orgies. They mean expensive call boys. They mean male temple prostitutes. How do you get these Hebrew and Greek words to mean gays? You say, well, look at Roman. It says that God gave him over to a reprobate mind to do all this manner of evil. What is the evil in gays? 630 million gay people. How come you cannot see their works are not as Romans describe? So you read the Bible and you say, hey, I automatically assume it's gay, so automatically gay's got a reprobate mind. It doesn't matter how that they're taking care of us in the healthcare system. It doesn't matter that every place you ever go that people see them, they're always praised because they're so an extra caring and loving person. And the only reason that it comes to that you don't like them, or you feel something wrong about them, is when you find out they're gay. Well, gays are not the reprobate people, you say, and you don't want to listen to them. You don't want to have gays come personally to you and give you their story. You believe that gay is sin so strongly, and you believe in Jesus Christ, and you believe in prayer, and if you think it's a demon, you believe in casting out demons and so forth. And why don't you practice what you preach instead of stating what you believe? Because you believe that a male temple prostitute is another word for homosexual. You believe that orgies, people from two whole cities, all the people, and at least all the males, but the Hebrew word says all the people, come to rape to death two angels. You say that's gay behavior. That's talking about gays. You don't understand how you do that. If you believe this so strongly, and you believe that God can do things that can change people, then what's the problem? Here I am. I'm willing to go to your church. I'm willing to submit to any prayer you have, any laying on hands you may do, any preaching you might want to do to try to say what you say Jesus says. You could take as long as you like. Then it's my turn. Once you do all these things, you can cast out devils and every single thing you could possibly do. You can try to persuade with all your brilliantness of the combined hundreds in your church. Certainly, with all of the people in your church, one of them has got to know something about Hebrew and Greek to be able to tell you what the ancient word means and what the word was used for. At least you could teach me this, can't you? In person, at your altar, under your pastor. And then when it's all done, it's my turn It's only fair, isn't it? You could give me all the testimonies of all the people you know that turned from gay to straight. You could bring in these people and everything. Then it's my turn to question them, to talk to them, to talk to you. To ask you questions about things. To ask you why you say something. And listen, to tell you what God says. Because God's anointed me to tell you something. And I'll tell you something. You afraid of that? You afraid that I might really have that anointing? And then when I speak, it's going to happen? Well, I know it's going to happen. And I know that no matter what you do in church, no matter how much you love Jesus, no matter how much you feel you're anointed to preach, no matter what you think that you have from God, God will not be on your side when I come to your church. Do you hear me? When I come to your church, God will be on my side. I will not have to spend the time that you have to spend to try to get a hold of God. I could just merely speak it, and it will happen. Tell me, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid to hear from God? My God, if God is telling you something, don't you want to accept God? Through Jesus Christ? Do you want to be in defiance to God? Hey, if you're right, then God's going to be on your side, isn't he? Are you thinking that Satan's so strong that your church cannot stand up against him? You think that I'm so full of Satan? People, God is with me. And when I preach, God is going to stand by me. Are you afraid of that? I have a testimony. I have over 32 years walking in Jesus Christ. I have all about 27 years before that of testimony of what led me to accept Jesus. And Jesus did some pretty spectacular things the few years before I accepted him. Lots of things has happened. Dramatic healings, physical healings, I've had them. Thousands and thousands of answered prayer. I have a lover. He's been with me 17 years. Untold miracles and answered prayer. I've got a household, you can see. I'm out of debt. Not because I'm some brilliant economist or something, or money's pouring in from someplace. Nothing at all. You've not given money to any gay person. Or you never do that. You think that any money's coming in? No, God's blessed me. And so I have what I need. And I'm asking you to invite me to your church. And let's see what God actually says. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And that God rose you on the third day. Come into my life and forgive me of my sin. A simple prayer gets you saved. But now you need to read the Bible, the King James Bible. All modern versions are Satan counterfeit with 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. If you don't believe me, type in your web browser, Westcott and Hort, and begin reading all the links and pages for Westcott and Hort, and you'll find out. See you next week.